As we look at the gift of faith, we have established 2 points. One is the atmospheric effect or the bubble effect that it has, and the other is the spiritual world effect that takes place when the gift is operating. And as we have mentioned just now, in the question time, that a sense of what the gift of faith is taking place is like at the point when you've been praying for something for very long, and then at a point where the breakthrough occurs and you know the answer is there. That is a little bit of the experience of what the gift of faith is like. In fact, it may be possible that at those points, the gift of faith operate. And we need to also have some examples of the gift of faith operating in the New Testament, and when it operates in Jesus' life. And I've thrown out the illustration of which one was the working of miracles, which one was a gift of faith. And as we know, that turning water into wine would possibly fall into the working of miracles. There is a molecular change in effect. And walking on water, nothing changes except Jesus walking on the water. And there was nothing on the water that changed. It was just a law superseded. So is that the gift of faith, or is that the working of miracles? That is the question that we ask. And or is it both? Now we know definitely that when the person is raised from the dead, definitely a gift of faith is operating, because you've got to contact the spirit world and bring a person's spirit back into the physical body. Now let's examine and compare it with that incident of walking on water, which is found in Matthew 14. Matthew 14. It says here in Matthew 14, verse 23, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. When evening had come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. Immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." But Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." When Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go out to Jesus, to go to Jesus. When he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they had got into the boat, the wind ceased. Now, let's trace it from what we have touched so far. The gift of faith has a bubble or atmospheric effect, and it has an angelic effect, which, in this scripture, is not so visible. Let me point to a few things happening. When Peter could not walk on water, he talked about faith. Says, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Implying that faith was necessary in walking on the water. Not just little faith, but lots of faith. Better believe it, because otherwise all of us will be right now walking across Billy Griffin or Balcona Lake and as practice, right? Definitely not. And in fact, sometimes people had thought that they could just try it, and they believed wrongly, and it did not work. Like, there was a story quoted in Cho Yun Gi's book called Fourth Dimension. I believe that was it, or either that or one of healing books, where he talked about, it may not be that one, it could be another book on healing, where he talked about a group of Christian sisters who tried to cross a river at a time when it was stormy weather. thinking that they could cross the water the way Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee. And sadly, they all drowned. And so you know, the gift of faith operates as the Spirit wills. So there must be still some things here that are important. And as you say, we divide, although the gift of faith is miraculous, working of miracles is miraculous, there is a definite difference. The working of miracles actually changes molecules and atoms. Physically changes it. Water into wine, come on, it has to change, right? H2O has to become whatever the chemical nature of wine was. Jesus didn't just put change the color and make H2O taste like that. No, it was real wine, so that the person who was probably a wine taster, whoever was in charge of the feast, said, "This is the best wine." If he only knew, it was supernatural wine. So there was a chemical, physical, molecular change that is affected. Creative miracles, when a person's organ is gone and a new organ is there, all these things are working on miracles. There is a substance change. Where there is no substance change but a miracle still takes place, you can safely classify into the gift of faith. Water remained the same, everything remains the same. The only thing was Jesus was walking on something. He was walking on water. Rather, it has an effect on him. So, question here. Was he floating on the water? Was he walking on the water? Was he made weightless? All these good scientific questions. Right? But whatever it was, he was walking normally. And he was not doing it just as a demonstration that he was the Son of God. Because if you cross-reference the scripture on this passage, he originally wanted to walk by them and move to the other side and meet them that side. He never intended to stop by and hitch a ride in their boat. He was on the way passing them. He was walking past them. In the account in the Gospel of Mark, he was walking past them. But as he was walking past, he may have wandered near enough for those fishermen eyes to see him from afar. And it was Peter who called attention to Jesus, and he didn't know it was Jesus. He thought it was a ghost. And he frightened everybody by saying, "Ghost! Ghost!" And everybody was frightened, panicking. And Jesus could have said, "Well, let those guys sort it out. I'll just meet them that side." But Jesus loved them. He cared for them. He knows all our little failings and all our idiosyncrasies. And Jesus from afar says, "It is I." And here was a time between 3 to 6 a.m. Sun hasn't risen yet. Dark. The waves were rolling. The boat was shaking. And it was pretty dim, even with a good fisherman's eye, that they could not really see who it really was. But a voice rolling across the waves said, "It is I." They still were not sure whether it's Jesus. Who knows? Thomas could have come and told Peter, "It's a trick. The ghost is trying to trick us. Trying to get us there." But Peter, make this statement. He didn't jump out yet. He says, "If it is you, call me to come to you on the water." Well, that's quite a challenge. So you know that Jesus didn't do it because he was Son of God. Because if he did it because he was Son of God, what did Peter do it by? The gift of faith. It's all through the gift of faith. And Jesus said, "Come!" Now that is not left to Peter. Thomas said, doubting Thomas said, "No, Peter, don't go. It's a trick." Judas just stared blankly out. And John, I don't know what he did. But Peter had to make a decision. and he was going to step up. You know how the first step is always important? That first step crossed a barrier. It crossed a barrier between faith and fear. And he took that first step out of the boat. I wonder what he felt like. You know, almost like in a dream. You look and all you see is water. Can they support you? You're about to put your foot out. And he did. And you know how I believe it happened? It didn't happen the way the movies always show it. You know, in all the movies, do you know that at the bad guy seems to die last? The top bad guy will die last? And in most movies, it's always so tense that towards the end, the hero is either halfway down the cliff about to die, and the bad guy is about to push him off the cliff. And at the last moment, it was reversed. It didn't happen in such a dramatic way. You know why? When I studied the New Testament, Peter's personality was not like that. He was someone who's gear engaged before his mouth, right? And his mouth engaged before his mind. He was very fast to say something, and then he said, "What did I say?" I kind of do something, and then, "Hey, what's that?" And that was him. And so he probably didn't have a second thought. Peter being who he was. Remember, so many times, you know, what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration? Well, while the atmosphere was nice, beautiful, there was Moses, there was Elijah, there was this atmosphere of God, there was Jesus transfigured, and then Peter says, you know, let's build a tent up here. Let's build a tent up here. And he was very, very detailed. One tent for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. See, so sacrificial, none for him. Right? And the Bible says in the book of Matthew 17, he knew not what he said. There is proof that he engaged his mouth before his brain. He knew not what he said. And the Bible also says they were all very sleepy. And I'm there. And other times when Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And in the cross-reference of, it happened in Matthew 16, but you cross-reference the incident to all the other Gospels, you find that it says that Peter was not the only one who believed in the heart that he was Christ, the Son of the living God. It says some said, you know, in other cross-reference. So there were more than one of them who believed he was Christ, the Son of the living God. But Peter was always fast. Before anybody could say anything, Jesus said, "Who do you say that? Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And let me tell you, he didn't really fully understand what he said too. Because the very next moment, he tried to prevent Jesus from going to the cross. And was rebuked for it. So he didn't really fully understand everything. He was just, you know, a horse, if I can illustrate who he was. Some people are like the mule, some are like the horse. The mule is always too slow. You know, stubborn to move. You gotta kick it, beat it to move it. And always walking too slow behind. The horse, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, don't be like the horse or like the mule. The horse, I mean, you, and then, you know, before the angels went, you tread where angels fear to tread. Say, "Hey, wait a minute, stop back." And so he was like a horse. And I believe how it happened was when Jesus said, "Come," and before Thomas could say, "Don't, Peter," before, you know, everyone could pull him by his garments, Peter was already out halfway. He didn't even think about it. And proof for that, halfway along the way, I'm not sure where it's halfway, but along the way, his mind caught up with him. His brain caught up with his legs. And then he started realizing, "Wait a minute. This is not possible." He saw the waves and said, "Hey, this is water, not cement." Or if cement was in those days, or bricks. His brain started catching up with him. And the moment his brain caught up with him, doubts came, because that was who he was. And he said, "This is not possible." The more he looked at the waves, he said, "This is impossible." And he started sinking. Thank God Jesus was near, not 1,000 kilometers away. And Jesus caught him by the hand before he started sinking. I don't know how fast he sang. I don't think it was slow motion. But as he sang, Jesus was fast and caught up with him and says, you know, why did you doubt? The other part that was not really clearly stated but would have happened was that Peter would be walking next to Jesus back to the boat. So he did walk again. But this time, Jesus was with him, holding his hand. And here is where the bubble atmosphere came. You notice something happened the moment they got into the boat. Here was a storm, the waves, the boat was rocking. And look, Jesus, remember that bubble of the atmosphere of faith was there? Verse 32. What happened? The moment they got into the boat, the whole bubble of faith covered the whole boat and everything, all the storms ceased. That was powerful bubble of the gift of faith operating. And what is unseen to human eyes is where possibly the spiritual realm was operating and working. Right? There could be angels around which you do not know, who are still the storm and all those things. In this passage, we don't see the spiritual realm. But what we want to bring forth in this New Testament incident is this. There is in the operation of the gift of faith that there's a bubble effect, there's an angelic spiritual world, but you notice one common factor that keeps taking place here. Words. Spoken. There you have it. Jesus said, and his words allowed Peter, it transmit that faith to Peter to walk on the water. Words were released. Now, let's look at every time there was a resurrection of the dead, right? Or in some way, there's some way where you we express that faith. Words. And remember when they raised someone from the dead in the book of Acts, there's Peter raised Dorcas, and they prayed. They didn't go there to try to do something. Why? They had to get into that atmosphere of faith. And finally, when Peter did it, he just says, Tabitha kumi. Damsel, arise. And Dorcas got up. A word went forth. And the only exception in the Old Testament was when Elisha was trying to raise this widow's son from the dead. He laid himself on the body several times. That was the way he released his faith. I mean, what he did was unusual. But what he did was trying to transmit life upon life. You know? Like he put his life there. His life. It was there. Into the boy. A release of faith in that way. Otherwise, every other resurrection from the dead, Jesus at Lazarus' tomb says, come forth! And he came forth. There was a release of words. And it's important to see how this gift operates and how words are important. Because in this gift, what is faith anyway? Romans 10 verse 10 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so the Bible have all the promises of many things that we can build our human spirit faith. And we can build our faith up so that every year we grow in faith to believe God for more and more things. Not as a result of the gift of faith, but as a normal result of your growing in faith and ability to believe God. And while your faith is growing, and it's caused by the word, then how does the gift of faith operate? See, the gift of faith would be a special word that God speaks of that situation that you can that catches you. It can come in any form, vision, dreams, or inner witness, every area. A special impartation that God speaks to you, that when you obey that word, speak that word, or release that word, the gift of faith operates completely. and it's released. And that is why sometimes the gift of faith, I believe that in many times in breakthrough prayers, you could be praying for something for years. And not to say the praying is not necessary, it is necessary, it's part of the growth of faith of your human spirit. But in God's time, He released the gift of faith, and suddenly that one word from you that was released was all it takes to do the and change the situation. In a sense, when Joshua was fighting in the battle, and when he started fighting a different group of people, the sun was about to set and they probably need more time. Something took hold of Joshua and he says, "Sun, stay where you are. Moon, stay where you are." Now, scientifically, we know that the earth revolves around the sun and the moon revolves around the earth. Whether God stopped the earth's rotation, or God actually stopped everything, or what I call freeze the time frame, except the humans, the beings on earth keep going on. Right? I believe it's possible He just freeze the time frame on everything and allow the battle to go on. And they went on for probably almost an entire day. That was a 2-day day. Such a thing. It was a 2-day day. And so that is why now, whether Saturday is Sunday or is Sunday Saturday, you know, is a Sabbath day, it's not no more such an issue when you look at it scientifically. And was that by the working of miracles? Now, here's where our definition. There was no molecular change. There was no new substance added. But it was a miracle. And I believe, especially if that was achieved by a spoken word, it points more to the gift of faith. Suddenly, the gift of faith dropped into Joshua's life. And he spoke. How was the miracle achieved? Through the spoken word. He spoke, and the sun obeyed. Only God could have done that, correct? No clay vessel, no human vessel can do that. None of us can go out there, you know, tonight and speak to the moon. And moon, go down. Sun, arise. And then the other side of the world will have shorter time, though. We never thought about that, did we? Yeah. And the other side of the world, you know, the people say, "Hey, the sun has set. It's only been 10 minutes. And we got another extra day now." Yeah. Good question. What happened in the other side? Exercise faith, right? I have no answer to that. And so, words were spoken. That's why we look at the New Testament, that gift seems to operate through the words that were spoken. Now, here's another example in the book of Acts. So, you begin to recognize more incidents. Remember in the book of Acts, when Paul started his first missionary journey. And Acts 13, they prayed, and then the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work which I've called them to." And then he went forth, and then he went to this island or place, and there was this person called Bar-Jesus, the sorcerer, who kept opposing Paul. You remember the incident? In Paul's first missionary journey. And then Paul looked at him and said these words. Well, I might as well read to you from the book of Acts. Now, there was no healing involved. There was something that took place here in chapter 13, verse 9. Saul, who also is called Paul, Elymas the sorcerer, and filled with the Holy Spirit, Paul looked intently in verse 9, Acts 13 verse 9, and said, "O fool of all deceit, all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? Now, And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you. You shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. Immediately a darkness fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. There's no healing involved, but it's a tremendous sign of power. Right? Was this the working of miracles or the gift of faith? The Bible doesn't divide clearly, but I always point to the gift of faith in the power of the words that is released. Obviously, the words don't contain that much power outside of the gift of faith. Right? It will contain your normal faith level. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Our words contain faith according to how what the level of faith we have. But when the gift of faith is operating, the words that you speak has the same effect as if God was speaking, because the gift of faith, the gift of God's faith is operating through your life. It's as if God is speaking through your life. And we are just clay vessels. In that specific time, in that specific moment, something is released into the world. And just an encouragement for us to know how important words are as far as God is concerned. You know, the Bible says to be careful about words we speak. At our human level, you know, our words does have an effect, but we don't realize how great effect. But imagine God with all His power. Imagine God. All God just has to say is, you know, galaxy, zoom, a new galaxy will come. And God, do you realize God has to be careful of His words? And what happened if God accidentally say, oh, there are 1 trillion people on the earth. We know there are only about 6 billion. Boom! 1 trillion people on the earth. Do you realize how powerful it is to be God? He has to be careful of His words. And so, God has to be careful what He says. And a measure of the power of God comes upon a paced person, clay vessels, when the gift of faith operates. So that only at that instant, at that time, at that place, that words contain that fantastic power. As if God spoke it from the beginning. Let there be light! And you speak it forth. It has an everlasting piercing effect. Right now the world is in existence from the first words that God say, let the world be formed. And we are still having the effect of it. That's how powerful the gift of faith is. And remember, the gift of faith can come at any time. It can come when you're praying and it comes on you. And why we are looking at this second session is how it is released. The spoken word. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith is released by the spoken word. You say, how did Daniel release it? He spoke it. You know, he must have said, God will deliver me. He spoke it. And you release it by speaking it. It contains so much power when the gift of faith operating. And after the gift lifted, you're back to your normal faith. It has power, the words still have power, but not as fantastic power as that level of power. So we need to be aware when it operates. And here is what I believe the words are from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit impressed upon me that the gift of faith has come upon God's people here and there, but they neglect to release it forth. It's almost like so much power, but God's people don't know how to release it. Don't know how to tap upon that. And we miss so many opportunities to give the enemy the killer blow, the coup de grace, finish him off. And we need to understand this gift. Tap upon it. Release its power into the realm of the atmosphere and the spirit world. Let's thank God. Father, we ask that